to Agent's Dossier, a Delta Green actual play series brought to you by 12 Sided Stories. And now your GM, Wes Otis.
Everybody, and welcome to Agent's Dossier, episode number 10. If you've been listening to the show up till now, you know that our last two agents met an untimely demise in episode 9. So we are here with one player to say a very special story before we start with new players in the next episode, including this particular character as well. Pooja, why don't you introduce yourself and your character?
Hello, I am Pooja, and today I shall be playing Robin Porter. For those of you who listened to the previous episodes of Delta Green, you may or may not remember that Robin is Neha's ex-girlfriend.
So just so everyone knows the timeline, because this was kind of a surprise to Jay and Pooja when we were going through their story arc with Neha and Patrick, was it? I think Jay's name was Patrick. I can't remember. He's dead now. So Jay's character,
I mean, you asked us of the person who had to look. I had a cheat sheet in front of me every time we played Delta Green to say which one of us was Ocelot and which one was Osprey.
Right.
We played ourselves.
We had so many dumb names in that. We had like 6 names by the end of it. So they died, they got married in nature, let's say that, 2 years ago and disappeared in the forest of the Alaskan island that they were on. And Robin has been told by Neha's brother that, you know, she was in an accident. None of the bodies were recovered. This was in the Pacific Northwest. Everything very vague by this security company claiming that she was working for them. And for the last 2 years, Robin has been diligently trying to find answers and running into walls at every turn. Fake companies, really well put together ruses, as it were. And before we get into the actual game, I just want to find out what Robin's mental state is right now after 2 years of feeling like she's in a John Grisham book.
I think Robin is kind of, she's holding it together, but not well. She's thrown herself into her work and this. That's all she does now. She used to have hobbies. She used to enjoy history. She used to keep up on languages. None of that happens anymore. The only thing that she does is track down who Delta Green really are, who Delta Green really is.
How much information do you want to have uncovered?
I think that's up to you.
I mean, if you're gonna make me work.
Because obviously somebody has not told me anything about what's gonna happen when all of us get together for this next session.
Well, I'm going to say that you know that the corporation Galactic Security that has reported her dead is a sham front for a government agency who seem to be CIA, from what you are imagining. Remembering that Delta Green as an agency is protected by several levels of shadow. They're on the shadow budget of the government. They're very hard to find. So the CIA is a little bit more of a public face. And when weird stuff happens, it's easy enough to believe that the CIA did something stupid or evil, or stupid and evil. And so, you know, it's easier for people to believe, oh, the CIA, those crazy idiots. But yeah, you believe that the CIA had something to do with it, and you know for a fact they're not telling you the truth, that you can't get anyone to go beyond the official story told to Neha's brother, and it is frustrating, very frustrating. You've been traveling around quite a lot on your off time. Where do you usually work?
I work at a private clinic doing not specialized medicine so much as it is more like concierge medicine.
Oh, so you walk in and you step on the bio scanner and it tells you, you know, all this pertinent information before they walk you into another room. And then I've seen those commercials.
There's some of that. And it's a lot of like taking care of people who have the money to get another level of service. And I kind of hate it, but it affords me the latitude to take as much time off as I do to go running around trying to find Neha, all of that stuff. Things that I used to do, because I used to work with Doctors Without Borders, I used to have that kind of balance in my life in terms of, okay, I want to make a good living and this is the best way to get some level of latitude in my life.
Okay.
And I can use that to improve lives of others. Now that's all like fallen off. Now I have the latitude to chase my obsession.
So we'll say for right now that you've been spending most of your time between Portland and Seattle and Anchorage, those areas where this horrific accident happened. Basically what they were saying is that there was a plane that was flying from Seattle up the coast going towards Alaska, and it got lost somewhere along the coastline, far enough out in the water that they haven't been able to find the wreckage, and that she was going up there for security detail for Galactic Security. And that's all you know. That's the story. But the more that you've dug in, the more that you've found that the Galactic Security is not real. It is not a thing. They did a pretty good job setting it up, but it was only meant to basically fool people who are going to be like, okay, whatever. Plus, her brother got a $2 million check in life insurance from the company for his loss. And that was enough for the family to be like, it's got to be legit, right? I mean, they're giving out money. Something happened and we're sad, but, you know, money. It's got to be real. You haven't let it go, though. And you've run into a few people from different government agencies that you've talked to. You've been persistent, calling, sending letters, and asking for Freedom of Information Act stuff, all that jazz, and just on and on and on. You've made yourself a pest, a royal pain in the butt, basically. One morning, you're walking out from your apartment, I'm going to say in Seattle, and three large SUVs, probably Escalades, pull up. They look all brand new. They have government plates. And a woman in a very nice pantsuit comes out. And what's your character's last name again? Porter?
Yeah.
Miss Porter, I've been asked to bring you in for questioning. And she flashes a CIA badge.
Questioning in regards to what?
Could you please get in the van?
I'll take out my cell phone. I'm going to call a lawyer.
Sure. So do you have a lawyer that you know that's on, or are you just like stalling for time?
I think at this point I would have had to retain a lawyer at some point. I have a really strong knowledge of bureaucracy, but I don't have a background in law. And I'm going to say that I have a bond with Brandon, who is a patient at the clinic that I work at, who is a lawyer. And I have been leaning on him in an unofficial capacity to try to get information about this stuff. Like, who do I contact? What angles can I to get more information without giving him the whole story so he doesn't think that I am banana pants?
Okay. Don't want to be banana pants. So you quickly hit speed dial and you notice that a few other agents have suddenly appeared around you and you're being surrounded and slowly corralled towards the door of these Escalades, and they all have on black glasses with the little white earpiece in their ear. Very federal. And the door swings open and Brandon answers the phone finally.
Hello, who is this?
It's Robin.
Oh, Robin. Oh, I'm sorry, but I don't have my... For some reason, it said no name or something. I don't... Anyway, how's it going?
Not great. This woman here claims to be from the CIA.
Okay.
They want to take me in for questioning.
Where are they taking you exactly?
And I look at the woman, I'm like, where are you taking me exactly?
The courthouse downtown. If your lawyer comes to the front desk, he'll be led to the interrogation room.
And I'm going to tell him how many agents are there exactly.
Did you steal some money plates or something? What'd you do?
I apparently asked for the wrong information, but here is the license plate of the car that they are currently forcing me into.
I'll be down at the courthouse soon enough. I'm on my way.
I... do not believe for a second that you are actually taking me to the courthouse.
Do you hang up the phone with Brandon?
I'm going to take it down, like our conversation is over, before I disconnect. Hopefully Brandon doesn't disconnect.
Right. When you get into the car, there is an older woman, probably in her 70s, maybe 60s or 70s, sitting on the opposite bench, limo style. So when you sit down, you have the agent who came up and got you into the car, and then this woman across. And she goes, "I'm very sorry, dear. I didn't mean to use all this force, but if we don't use our budget by the end of the year, then next year we won't get as much budget, and it's... You know, you never know how much budget you're going to need, and it's a thing. Anyway."
Then, of course, you couldn't think of anything better to do with that money than intimidate single women walking out of their homes. Yeah, totes. Makes sense. I absolutely...
I'm not trying to intimidate you, Miss Porter. I have information for you that you've been searching for. It's complicated. Let me see your phone.
Why?
Well, because... If you want the information about Neha, who was employed by me, then I want to make sure that you actually hung up the phone.
Fine, and I'll disconnect and hand it to her.
Ah, perfect. You are right. Your former partner did not die in a plane crash. She had been working undercover for us for the last few years. We disconnected her life, basically. Made up a story, gave the information to the family so that she could go on and do undercover work for us. The unfortunate part, though, is she was recently shot. She was doing a job for us overseas in Iran, and something went wrong, and she was caught alone and was fired upon. We've brought her body back, and I'm taking you now to see her, because as a medical doctor, I'm sure that will help with closure. But I'm also telling you because you obviously loved her enough to continue to search for her. And I want to give you at least the closure that you need to be able to move on with your life. So we're heading actually to the hospital. We can't have your lawyer involved, and we can't have anybody else involved, because clandestine government work is secretive for a reason. You know, national security and all that. Anyway, we'll be there in a moment. And she just kind of sits back. And do you ask her any questions before you make it to the hospital?
So you're saying she was in Iran this whole time?
Not this whole time, just the past 3 months. We had her down in Mexico for a while, in Colombia with the drug trade. She was in China for a while when our past president wanted a person there. She's been in about 4 or 5 locations, and the understanding was that she was going deep undercover, kind of like witness protection. We didn't want anybody to trace her back to family or friends in case of a terrorist attack or something like that. And we've done this before, and every once in a while there are people like you who are persistent and want to know what really happened and see past the life that we have set up, or the death scenario we've set up. But because she's passed, we're able to now at least let you in on. Of course, everything you see is top secret and you can't speak of it with anyone. But at least you will have the peace of mind, like I said, to move forward. And they pull into the local hospital, get out of the car, and it's just her and the other agent. And you go downstairs to the morgue. There is a table with a body bag on it. It's probably like 60 degrees. She looks at you for a moment and she goes, "Are you ready?"
"I've been ready for years."
And there's a doctor there, I should mention. And he unzips the bag and opens it up. And Neha is laying there with 3 bullet entry wounds across her chest. Can you give me a sand check? Because I think that seeing a loved one that you've been searching for a couple of years, that's a sand check kind of thing.
It feels legit, yes.
Feels sand checky.
I did not make it.
So you take 3 points of sand loss, and you are definitely shaken by what you see.
I'm going to look, like really look, at her body at this point.
Okay. Do you want to look at the chart as well?
Yeah. I'm going to look at everything. I did not believe a word of what this woman was saying on the way here. It feels like something directly out of like a Jason Bourne or some shit. Like
some kind of 90s action movie?
Possibly. I mean, I just have the bone deep belief that no matter what, Neha would have found a way to reach out to me. Along with like a really healthy skepticism that like they would have chosen someone to go deep undercover who was as unstable as she was.
Right. That like, makes sense.
Logic plus feelings.
Let's do forensics. Let's start with the forensics roll.
Okay. Dice, please be better to me than you were last time. That was a rude 86. That is better.
Okay.
Not by much. I mean, I barely made it. I got a 47 under my 50.
So you look at the entry wounds, you look at her entire body, all of the molds, all of the things that partners would know about are there. I'll ask you, because we never really covered this, but did she have any tattoos or anything?
I think so, yeah. She went through that whole, like...
that college, hey, look what I've got on my ankle or whatever?
No, she went through that whole, like, team building with the... like bros when she went into security.
I remember you said this. You did say this, actually. What is the tattoo again?
As a polar bear? Worst decision. She must have been drunk.
Is it with face of a polar bear or just a whole ass polar bear?
It is a whole ass polar bear.
And where was it?
Like on her upper thigh near her ass. It was, I think that the story she always gave me was that her team went out to celebrate one night, and they all got raucously drunk, and they all got these.
So...
apparently, some of them got them directly on their ass cheeks.
Ooh. Lucky she didn't go that far. It's not a good look. You look at the body, and at first glance, the tattoo looks correct. Haven't seen it in 2.5 years. But then you notice that the bear is facing the wrong way. But literally, that's the only mistake on this entire body. Everything else is normal. It's just the bear's facing the wrong way. Are you satisfied?
I don't know if satisfied is the word I would use to describe what I am right now. But it's cool. You would have to, like, you know, feel emotions in order to understand.
I understand why you're angry. I do. That's why we brought you here. We wanted to help you, like I said, have some closure. And she motions for the doctor to zip back up the bag. Anyway, I'm sure we won't be having any more issues or questions. This is the time.
I'm sure it is.
Ah, okay.
Thank you for your help, Doctor.
Dr. Peters. And he shakes your hand, and you're led out by the agents and taken back home. And they leave. And about 20 minutes later, you hear a knock at the door.
Well, I answer it.
There is a man probably in his 80s, maybe 90s. He's got a cowboy hat on and an eye patch. Tucked in buttoned up shirt. Looks like he might be going to a square dance event at any moment. He goes, "Hi, Miss Porter. My name is Mark Wells. I was wondering if I could have a conversation with you. I know you just spoke with the CIA, and he uses quotation marks. I was wondering if you could come with me to my office across the street to talk about what they said and what they are actually trying to do, if you wouldn't mind."
Are you going to tell me why there is a fake body that looks exactly like my ex-girlfriend in the morgue right now?
He looks around the room and raises his finger to his lips as in to motion. "Let's go to my office," he says.
Okay. I'm going to follow him out to his office, which if it's a van with no windows, it's not just going to be Brandon getting called.
You walk outside. And he's got a cane, so he's walking a little slow. And across the way is a diner. You've been there several times. And he starts walking across the street, goes in the diner. When he enters the diner, the waitress locks the front door, puts the clothes sign on. He sits down in a booth. He goes, "You want coffee?"
"I'd prefer answers."
"Well, you're going to get answers, but I'm trying to offer you some coffee as well. Do you want coffee? Maybe some kind of donut or something?"
"Do I look like a cop? I'll take some orange juice."
"Well, orange juice. Anyway, so you realize that it was not her body. That's very good. What ticked you off?"
"Tattoo It was reversed.
They screw up one detail at least. It's almost like they want to get caught.
How the hell did they do that? I've never seen anything like it. I mean, every other detail was perfect.
It's a lot of information that you're about to have to digest with that orange juice you're going to be drinking. And
who the hell are you, Mark?
Well, I am who I say I am. I'm Mark Wells, an agent for a certain federal, well, former federal agency. It used to be called Delta Green. It's a long story, so let me just tell you real quick a little bit about it. And I'll tell you how your friend Neha fits into the whole picture. Years and years ago, we're talking before the Second World War, there was a incident on the east coast of this country. A small town was raided. It was called Innsmouth. And everything went wrong for the agents that went in. They had heard horrible things going on by some cultish group. It was decided after that that there needed to be an agent to look into, let's say, supernatural things. Things that were beyond the comprehension of most human beings. Well, and I know this might seem a bit fantastical, but let me get there. The agency they started was called Delta Green. And it's been called many things throughout the years. Fast forward to the 1970s with all that nonsense going on in Vietnam and Cambodia. Delta Green, up until that point, had several agents, and we were backed by the United States government. Members were part of different factions. They were agencies. They were FBI agents, CIA agents, Border Patrol, anywhere they could pull resources. Those were the day jobs, but in reality, they were covert ops working to get rid of supernatural threats to Americans. And as the years went on, to the world at whole. There was a mission that happened in Cambodia in the 70s that went terribly wrong. Lots of people died. Anyway, Delta Green was disbanded. But those of us who were in Delta Green at the time, we decided it was too important to let it die. So we went and became basically a black ops organization. All our members was either from some major agency or they were from some major institute, took money and resources in order to keep the work going. Fast forward to the 1990s. In the 1990s, it became clear that there was a presence, an agency called Majestic 12, in the government. They were sanctioned and backed by our U.S. government. They were being led by aliens. I know. Sounds nuts. I get it. I'll get there. Trust me.
I think you need to get there pretty quickly because you locked me in here and I am not okay with it. This is a lot to swallow.
It is. Just give me a few more minutes. Unfortunately, you've stepped into a world that not a lot of people step into. You were never supposed to ask questions after Neha disappeared. And as you can see, they botched everything trying to get you to listen to the story. Now, I'm telling you the unvarnished truth. Not so that you can just feel okay or move past whatever feelings you have, but so that you can be helpful, since you obviously are capable and I think able to do the work we do. So Delta Green took down Majestic 12 in the government, and as a result, it was decided that Delta Green needed to be reincorporated into the U.S. government. Because it was decided that, once again, an agency that dealt with supernatural beings was needed. So, lots of former agents were offered to come back into the fold and join. And then there's those of us that did not. We are still Delta Green, but we are not associated with the federal government because we know they're full of shit and they can't do their jobs right. They put people in dangerous situations without much backup. They play around with artifacts, hoping to turn them into weapons. There are a litany of things that are bad about having a federal government in control of such things. So Delta Green is two entities. There's the project, which is the government Delta Green, which is what Neha was a part of. And then there's our outfit. They call us cowboys because, I don't know, because we're not sticking with the program. And I have a cowboy hat on. I get it.
Yeah, that's... I mean, did you... No, you know what? It's fine. Out of all the things that you're telling me right now, that is the least important.
Anyway, 2 years ago, your former partner and her partner, professional, that is, was sent out to Alaska to look at this black cod fishery establishment. Now, here's the problem with Delta Green being part of the federal government. The federal government has tons of agencies like Majestic 12. Some of them are not doing great things. Some of them are doing very dangerous things that nobody else in the government knows about.
Are you telling me another government agency took her out 2 years ago?
Yes. There's a second government agency that's working out of Alaska, or was working out of Alaska. We'll get to that point in a second. But basically, there are agencies that are doing illegal work that are off the books, just like Delta Green. There's no communication between these agencies, which has left a huge problem. The federal Delta Green goes out and tries to stop some supernatural thing from happening and ends up in the crosshairs of a federal-backed government agency. Neha had no idea, neither did her partner, what they were walking into, and they had very little support. The woman you met just a few moments ago, she was their director. She was the one that sent them out there. So you have a couple of choices here. I know I've just fed you a lot of information. I have this folder here of numerous pictures of what happened to Neha. If this doesn't convince you, I can take you to Neha.
That's the only thing that will convince me. I literally just saw a simulacrum of her body. If you think for a second that some pictures are going to convince me now?
I have to warn you that the state that Neha's in is quite terrible. And all of the pessimistic, not believing an old coot in a hat is going to fly out the window once you see her. It's quite terrible.
I've seen a lot, and I don't care. I've been looking for her for 2 years. I'm not going to pass up the chance to see her just because she might be hurt or scarred or something. Like, just take me to her.
All right. Well, come with me. And he stands up and starts walking back to the kitchen. Yep, it's here. Come on.
Okay. Are you telling me she's been here this whole time?
No, we just brought her here today. We've been following your progress, and we wanted to see what the other Delta Green was going to try to do. And when we found out about the cadaver that they were showing you, we brought her here. Once you see her, then we'll have a frank conversation about the future. It's not good.
I've seen a lot of not good.
So he takes you into the back, and the diner is next to a larger building. And there's a door in the back of the diner, and he takes you through that door. And it opens up to a large office that has been converted into what looks to be a functioning base. As we've been here listening to the wiretaps that the CIA put on your place for the past couple of months, they have so many wires on you, it's unbelievable. Most of them illegal. Everything that you have done has been traced for the past 2 years. Now, why they decided not to just put a bullet in your head and call it a day, I don't know. But for some reason, maybe it was guilt on their handler's conscience. Maybe she just couldn't go that far, even though she went so far with them. And he takes you to this big metal door. Prepare yourself. He unlocks the door and takes you into what seems to be some kind of cage room. The whole room is made out of stainless steel. It's probably about an inch thick. He goes, we usually bring certain creatures into this kind of room. We hunt and dispose of them, and he takes you past a couple of empty cages, and then there's the cage in the far back where there's a very large creature, probably about maybe 7 feet, 8 feet tall, sitting on the ground, facing the wall.
You told me you were going to take me to Neha. Where is she?
He turns towards the creature, and he says, Agent Singh, could you come here for a second? And this thing stands up, and it has clothes on, but the clothes are melded into the skin. Looks like some kind of mutation. And there's a pair of feet, so like the first pair of feet go straight to the floor, and then about halfway up the ankle, you can see another pair of feet sticking out from the ankle, and you notice that, like, whatever this thing was, it, like, they weren't fused together perfectly. They were fused together like an arm is coming out of the second arm, kind of, and then they've got like multiple fingers as they connect back, and it turns, and half of its face is Nahas. It almost looks like it's been melted into the first face of a larger black man. Make a sand roll for me.
Can't imagine why. I mean, totally, totally normal and not at all horrific and terrifying. Yay, I think. I got a 34.
Did you make it underneath? Okay.
Well, I'm not sure that that's a good thing.
You're still going to take a point because, you know, holy shit. But, and it walks up to the cage and it laces one of its hands through the bars towards you. You see a tear kind of rolling down Neha's face. And she tries to speak, but it's this weird mix of sounds. And he goes, she recognizes you. This is what they did to her.
It's just as unbelievable that this is Neha as that body, that morgue.
Mm. Well, it is.
How is this supposed to be proof? She can't even, that, whatever it is, whatever anyone has done to it, it could have been you for all I know.
Let me ask you something.
It can't even communicate.
Look, if we're being anywhere near realistic, first of all, that is against nature and you know it. There's nothing in the books about that. It looks like radiation poisoning gone awry, like some kind of horrible 1980s mutation movie or something, correct? This is what happens when agents don't have backup, or when they're sent into a situation without the proper briefing on what's going on. Here, let me show you something. Here's the city that they were in. This was a city of 300 people, plus a cult that had put up shop nearby. This is the day before the explosion, taken by satellites. And here's a picture of what happened after the explosion that melded your former partner and her partner together. Take a look. And the entire area has been, like, flattened, except for the woods that Neha woke up in. And he goes, I don't know how they got out of that explosion, but this is what's left.
What the hell could do that? Did they, I mean, was it an airstrike? I mean,
no, it was underneath ground. It came, if you take a look here, you see all the dirt that is thrown up, and there's a, you can see the parts of a building. It sank. There was an explosion under the building, and it sent the entire fishery down below ground. I don't know how they got out. Sometimes answers aren't forthcoming because it's stuff that we don't understand. This isn't magic. This is math beyond human mind kind of stuff. And I know you think I'm crazy, but here's the second part of the problem and why we want you to work with us. And he shows you a picture of a dig. It's an archaeological dig. This is in Charlottesville, Virginia, right now. And you see that skeleton cube that they're digging out of the ground? We believe that's what caused the explosion that ended up melding Neha and her partner together here. We need somebody to go down there and find out what the government version of Delta Green is. They've got amateurs working on this thing.
And I wouldn't be. I'm a doctor.
Yes, you are a doctor. But here's the thing. For some reason, they've decided to not put federal agents on this. The handlers that are dealing with the people who are dealing with this particular cube are the only people that are a part of the government. So they're picking people that they can lose. They're picking people that aren't going to be able to be traced back to any kind of security job or any kind of government agency. Neha at least could be traced back to security, and that's why you happened. It is because you knew what she did, and you pushed. These people have no connections at all to that. And so once they explode and get melded together, guess what? More of this. Delta Green's job is very simple. We neutralize. We get rid of the supernatural so it does not affect humans. It is dangerous. It's been around for a lot longer than we've been here, and it's not easy to snuff out. This, what you see right here, is the result of negligence and the desire to weaponize supernatural things, alien things, things beyond our comprehension. Look, I know it's hard to understand or believe or any of that, but I will tell you this. They have basically gone out of the way to make you happy, and they would love nothing more to bring you into the fold, to keep you close, to keep, you know, enemies closer kind of thing. Keep an eye on you. Make everything seem okay. So you become part of what Neha was doing, but with us as your backup. And we pull these people out of the situation they're in before it gets worse. It's dangerous. She looks over at Neha and goes, right there, obviously. But more people will die. 300 people died in that city. Not just the mutations that we found beyond her, but lots of innocent people, fishermen and, you know, regular old people living day to day, gone in a minute. Anyway.
Just, I need a minute.
Absolutely. And I'll leave you with your thoughts. And he walks out of the room.
I'm going to look into this cage. I don't even know how to tell if it's really you. Like, reach out towards the Neha side of things.
Okay. She gently grasps your hand, and you hear her say in two voices,
I'm sorry that it came to this.
It's very hard for her to speak. He goes,
he's not lying to you. I know that you're skeptical, and that's a good thing, but I need you to believe me.
And you can feel her skin and his skin together, and it feels real. This isn't some kind of fake thing.
I'm going to reach out and, like, stroke her cheek, and I'll try to help those other people, but there has to be something I can do for you. I can't believe you've been living like this for 2 years. There has to be something we can do.
Unfortunately, there's no way to separate us,
and we've decided that it's time for us to move on. But I wanted to speak to you first. Naomi found me a few months ago.
I was in the woods, living. I had forgotten how to speak.
But you're, I mean, you're alive. Is he alive in there? Y'all are...
We're alive together, yes. This isn't a way to live. You know that.
There was another agent that died this way as well. There were three of them merged together,
and I had to kill that one. And now I understand why I had to kill him.
You can't ask me to do that.
I'm not asking you. You're not going to do it. You're going to get on a plane. You're going to trust Mark, and he's going to take care of it. But at least now you know the truth.
I'm sorry for all the drinking. I'm sorry for lying. I'm sorry for not being there for you.
I wish I could say that I was a better person in our relationship than I was, but I want you to know that I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry. A lot of shit went down. Neither of us was perfect, but I never stopped loving you.
I never stopped loving you either, but look, just be careful. And trust your instincts. If something tells you to run,
if there's something saying to get out of a situation, get out of it. We made a choice to push forward, and this is what happened.
If we had just listened to our gut, we probably would have been okay.
Okay, and I'm gonna reach in and, like, kiss her on the cheek.
I love you.
Do me one favor. Move on.
Live a life, okay?
Yeah, we'll see what happens when I get these, after this.
Well...
Good luck. And you leave. And Mark's waiting out a few paces away from the door. So, do you believe me? I know.
I suppose at this point I don't have a choice.
I know it's hard.
It's hard does not begin to cover it. But yeah, I'll help you. I'll be your mole. How am I not just gonna get murdered?
Well, honestly, I'm not gonna lie and say that any option is not on the table for... danger in this situation, as you can already tell, but I will say we will do everything to make sure that you and the others come home whole and safe. Now, I've set it up where you're going to have another meeting with the agent. He gives you basically the rundown of how this is all going to happen. And this is where we're going to end the game.
it's the titular. So here's the plan.
Here's the plan, and then fade to black. And basically, when we pick up tomorrow, you'll be filled in on what the plan is. You're going to be brought into the fold as part of this investigation team. because you are a valuable asset to Delta Green. All of a sudden, they think that because you were able to handle yourself so well, that they're giving you a chance to work with them and are able to get into their good graces. And we'll get more into that through role playing tomorrow. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed that bridge. I think
that was awesome.
I'm glad.
I love that it was like this different, because I feel like it set it up like, well, two very different characters. I love the moment like where you brought it and shoots like, oh, and now you're going to get to do that creepy voice thing that you wanted to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And thank you to our Patreon backers. We hope you're liking or enjoying Agent's Dossier. We're having a lot of fun with it. And we are bringing all of the cast in on the new episodes. I think that this was kind of fitting to have the bridge episode be bridge episode number 10. Where can they find you, Pooja?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at LA Daisy Girl and pretty much everywhere else it's Forgotten Saves. If you enjoy what I do here on 12 Sided, feel free to look me up on Habajack's RPG or the backlog on It's Probably Okay. But mostly I live here.
She lives here. She's part of us now. Dun, dun, dun. Anyway. Thank you so much, and thank you, Patreon people, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.